number 5. The book of Acts in chapter number 5. A few weeks ago, I was with our senior class down in Florida. We went to a church there on Sunday, and the preacher preached out of this text. And the verse that he read has kind of been on my heart ever since, been looking at it and studying it. I'm not going to preach his message for a few reasons, but I'm excited about this passage of Scripture. In this text, Peter and the apostles have been preaching, and the crowd didn't like it. And the fact is this, I promise you this, if you preach the message that they were preaching, the crowd isn't going to like you either. They were preaching on the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They were preaching on the fact that He is the Savior of the world and the only one who can forgive sins. And when they heard that message, they said, "We're going to kill you." And they brought him in. They were going to kill them, but a man stood up named Gamaliel, who you'll know from other passages. That's who Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, sat under and was trained under. Very wise man, if you will, in the Jewish religion. But he basically had a message and said this, that if these guys, the apostles, are a fake, then it will show itself. But if they're real, you're not going to stop it. And we're going to look at this real quick. If you're able to, let's stand as we read our text this morning, just in respect to the Word of God. In Acts chapter number 5, we're going to start reading in verse number 29 this morning. Acts chapter 5, verse 29 says, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him.' When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had a reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, 'Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself and to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. Now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God.' And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. Teach us your word this morning. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher. May he bring conviction in our lives, encouragement, whatever we need from the Word of God. I pray that we'd find it and be sensitive to it. Now, God, I pray you put a hedge about this place. And Lord, if there's anyone here today that's lost, I pray today would be the day of their salvation. God, I pray that, Lord, for the Christian today that may be struggling, that they would find the hope and deliverance and encouragement that they need. And God, I just pray that, Lord, you just, again, work as only you can do. And we love you, and in your name I pray, amen. Amen. Please be seated. So these men, the apostles, they were warned to quit preaching about Jesus. And Gamaliel stood up and said, now, you remember the story there of Theudas, who brought 400 men, began to follow him. But he died, he was slain, and his men were dispersed. The same thing happened to Judas of Galilee, and he got a following, but he died, and his men were dispersed. And then Gamaliel said, "If this is of God, ye cannot overthrow it." And the world hasn't been able to overthrow it. For over 2,000 years, the same work has continued. and it will continue. Amen. And the fact is this, he said this phrase there in our text in verse number 39. He says, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. He said, it's not worth it if you think you're going to fight against God. Now, recently, I'm not a big boxing fan. Never have been. I enjoyed watching little clips of Muhammad Ali talk because he was cocky, and I find that entertaining. I've never been a boxing fan. I couldn't tell you if you're one of those guys that love boxing and love the history of boxing, then I will not impress you at all with any knowledge that I have. All right, I have no idea who the champion is, no idea any of the stuff. But there's this one guy that's been boxing just a few years that just caught my attention. And the reason it caught my attention, because I saw a video of him. He's new. He's 12. He's only had 13 matches. He's 12-1. The only match that he lost was in his very first bout. He fought the champion because he thought he could beat him. I just love watching cocky people. He lost in a split decision, almost beat him. But he since then has gone undefeated. He's won 3 world titles in 3 different divisions. And the reason it caught my attention was because I watched a video of him, found out who he was. He was playing a game of tennis against himself. Now, y'all looking at me, that's impressive. He would hit the ball, run to the other side, return it, and run to the other side and return it. You try that, all right? It was pretty impressive, all right? I was watching him, and I was just like, that's incredible. Who is this guy? And he's quite the athlete, and he just won, just the other night, he just won his 3rd title, defeating a man who was 45-3, the champion in that division, and beat him in a knockout in 10 rounds. Now, I don't know much about boxing, but that guy's pretty impressive, all right? But the fact is this, I was kind of following him since then because he just intrigues me just in his athleticism and what he can do. But I watched him train over the last year for this bout and what he went through. I mean, he trained and he trained and he trained. And then in the bout, me and my son actually watched the match, all right, because I was pretty intrigued by him. And he actually got knocked down. He'd never been knocked down. And he got right back up. And he said he was okay, and I ended up knocking out the champion in just a few more rounds. But the training that guy went through was incredible. And I thought, as I was watching him training, I was like, this guy, nothing's going to stop him. And it didn't. He won. But I don't care who you are and who you think you are and how big and bad you are, if you fight against God, you're going to lose. Gamaliel said it almost 2,000 years ago, and the fact is still true. If you try to fight against God, you will lose. And I want to point out just a few things out of this text this morning. And I just want you to consider it with me, all right? Number one, I want you to see the opportunity. So what do you mean the opportunity? Again, look at verse number 39. Gamaliel said these words, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. Now, that word happily is not happily, all right? That means like, yay, I get to fight against God. That's not what it's saying, all right? That word happily means perhaps, all right? Perhaps you'll fight against God. So the idea is this, that there is an opportunity to fight against God. That opportunity is there for you too. So what are you trying to say? You and I can fight against God. You may be sitting in the auditorium this morning fighting against God. It is possible to be fighting God. We all know that there's a world out there that's fighting against God. There is a culture out there that is fighting against God. And by the way, they will lose. I don't care who it is. And by the way, you see it happening. I hated, I told my Sunday school class this morning, we discussed it very quickly, but I hated again to hear in the news of someone else who went into another high school and began shooting, and I believe 10 lives were lost again. And you say, what is the problem? I'll tell you what the problem is. A culture and a civilization is fighting against God, and this is the results. When we fight against God, we lose. When we have professors who want to kick God out and teachers who refuse to speak of God and a civilization and a generation being raised to be anti-God, we will lose. You see, there's no winning this. Gamaliel was very wise in saying these words. If we fight against God, we are going to lose. You cannot overthrow him. And we have a civilization that's fighting against God. We have a world that's fighting against God. And unfortunately, in churches, maybe in this auditorium this morning, there are people sitting in pews that are fighting God. Say, how would I fight God? All right? Well, number one, if you're not saved and you're running from that conviction, you're fighting against God. If you understand this morning, and the fact is this, it is true, that every one of us are sinners. I don't care who you are, there is none righteous, no, not one. And because of our sin, we deserve one thing, and that is an eternity in the lake of fire. That's the best thing I deserve with my life. Because me on my own, I am a wicked person. My heart is just like your heart described in the prophets as being desperately wicked. That's what we are. And we all deserve hell. The wages of our sin is death. That's what we deserve. That's what we have earned. And the fact is this, that's the best we could hope for without Jesus Christ. And what an awful eternity it is to face an eternal darkness in the lake of fire. And if you're sitting here today and you say, yeah, I've not been saved. I've never trusted in Christ as my Savior. But you know what? I'm going to put that off. No, not today. I'll say no again. You're fighting God. And you'll lose that battle. I thought our young people did a great job on Friday night with the play that they did in portraying the gospel and the reality that death is an appointment that every one of us are going to make one day. And there were people in the auditorium on Friday who God was speaking to their heart. And we gave an invitation. They were looking with glassy eyes, knowing that they weren't ready for eternity. Now, I praise God there was one that walked the aisle Friday and accepted Christ as their Savior. Another believer that had drifted away from God came up to me after the service, big tears going down their cheeks, and they said, "Preacher, when I saw that young man walking with blood on his hands, that's me. That's the destiny that I was headed towards." He said, "I want you to know I got my life right tonight." Amen? The fact is this, there were still others sitting in this auditorium that were fighting God. If you leave today and you do not accept Christ as your Savior, you're fighting God. And if you die fighting God, you lose. You're not going to pull one over on God. God's not going to make an exception just for you. The fact is this, you fight God, you lose. When it comes to your salvation or maybe a surrendered life, surrendering your will to the Lord, a life of service to God. So I'm afraid God to, you know, have me do whatever, fill in the blank that you're afraid that God would have you to do. I'm telling you this, that if you miss out on what God has planned for your life, you are missing out on joy. You're missing out on a complete life and an abundant life. It's a wonderful life. The greatest life is serving the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you sit there and say, "I don't want to live that life," and you're fighting God. You see, God, the Bible says there, I believe it's in 2 Timothy, and the Bible says that before the foundation of the world, God had a will for your life. What a precious thing that is to know that God, before the world even formed, had a plan for Travis Burke and has a plan for you. God has a perfect will for your life. But if you run from that will, if you fight against that will, you are missing out on the joy and the peace and the abundant life that God wants you to have. And if you're fighting God, you'll lose. You'll not win. Maybe it's a matter of sin. Maybe it's a matter of sin. Maybe you have a sin in your life that you don't want to give to God. Maybe there's something in your life right now. Now, please heed me today, because I don't know. I hope there's no one in here that's not saved. If you're here today and you're not saved and you're trying to make excuses not to get saved, you're fighting against God. And I hope you surrender to Him today. If you you've never come to a point in your life and you say, God, my life is yours to control, and you're holding on to the reins of your life, you're fighting against God, and I hope you surrender your life to God today. But you listen to me. If there's a sin in your life this morning that you know is there, and I don't have to list a bunch of sins, the Holy Spirit is already far better than I am at telling you already what that sin is in your life. And if you're listening at all, the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. And you sit there and you know that sin is wrong. Or you sit there and you say, well, I'm not, it's my life, I choose not, I'm going to continue in this, I don't really care what you say. You will lose. God will win. I'm not saying that if you're saved and you have a sin in your life, you're going to go to hell. I'm not saying that, but I'm telling you this. The way of the transgressor is what?
Hard.
And you will not be an exception to that. You will lose. There was a believer just this week that said, no, my life, I refuse to do right. They will not win. God is right. Maybe it's a matter of, you know, a simple thing of your money. I'm not going to give it to God. I know what the Bible says, but I will not. You will lose. You can't fight God and win. When it comes to salvation, there was a man named Agrippa one time that said this. Almost. He was fighting against God, and the Apostle Paul, who was witnessing to him, knew that there was conviction in his life. He said, King, I know that you know these things. He saw the conviction in Agrippa's life, and Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He fought against God, and as most as we know from the Bible, he lost and he went to hell, having never received Christ as a Savior. That king who sat on a throne and had everything that he wanted to is in hell today, almost. He sat on that throne talking to the Apostle Paul and fought against God, and he lost. King David, who had everything, who could have had whatever he wanted to, decided, knowing that sin was wrong, decided to see Uriah killed and to indulge in his own lust, thought he could hide it, thought he could get away with it. He fought God, and he lost. He lost. Jonah said, I know what God's will is for my life, but I'm going the other direction. I don't want to do what God wanted me to do. It's my life. I'm going this way. And he lost. Achan said, I know that's God's treasure, but I want it. It's mine. And he lost. And since the beginning of mankind, there have been countless multitudes who have fought against God. And you look at me, every one of them have lost. You cannot overthrow the Lord. And you will not be the exception to the rule. You will not be the one that gets away with it. You will not be the one. There have been millions of millions of millions of people who thought that they could get by on it, or they would be the exception, or God would just excuse them for doing the opposite of what he said, and they all have found out, let God be true. We were wrong. And if you leave out these doors today, my friend, saying, yes, it's my sin, I still want to hold on to my sin, you will lose. You walk out these doors today saying, it's my money, I'm not giving to God, what? You will lose. You walk out these doors today saying, it's my life, I don't want to surrender to his will, you'll lose. You walk out these doors today and say, I refuse to accept Christ as my Savior, and you die in that condition, you will go to hell. I don't like saying it, I hate saying it, but the fact is true, God's word's true. And no one has ever been the exception. You fight against God, you'll lose. So you see, there is the opportunity. The opportunity, the Bible says, lest haply ye be found. Perhaps you'll be found to be fighting against God. And perhaps there's someone here today who is fighting against God. That preacher there in Florida gave the illustration. I thought it was a good one. There's this guy in the streets of Chicago who is an atheist standing there saying, back in the day, challenging God. If there is a God, I challenge him. Come down here and fight me. Kill me if you're really there. And this crowd gathered as he began to mock God and challenge God. And this man who was serving there in Chicago with the Salvation Army heard him, came around the corner and heard this man talk for a while and then raised his hand. He said, "Sir, a minute ago I got off the train. And I bumped into this kid living on the streets, rough kid. I didn't see him there. And I ran into him. My first thought was, I wanted to help him, and I reached in my pocket to help him. But the kid was angry and bitter and turned and began to yell and curse at that man. He put his dukes up and said, 'I'll take you. I'm not afraid of you.' He said, 'Come on.' And that man said to that atheist, 'You're just like that kid.' That kid had no chance. I could do whatever I wanted to that kid. But all I wanted to do is love him and help him. And if you're fighting against God, God just loves you. He's being pitiful. He's being long-suffering. Please don't fight against God. But there is an opportunity. You can. Let me make this observation. The observation, it says there at the beginning, verse number 39, you cannot overthrow it. You can't win against God. It's impossible. You will not win. Gamaliel was right in this. You die without Christ, you will go to hell. You try to live your life without serving the Lord, you will lose crowns. You try to rob God, the devourer will not be rebuked. You live in your sin, your life will be hard. It'll be hard. And the fact is this, you cannot overthrow it. No one will change the truth. So let me state the obvious. The obvious is this. The opportunity is this. You do have an opportunity to fight against God. I hope you're not. The observation is this. You cannot overthrow him. So the obvious is this. Give your life to him. Just surrender to the Lord. Turn over in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 32. I'm going to show you something as we close. Genesis chapter 32. In this passage of Scripture, Jacob is heading back towards Bethel. He has his family with him. He's about to face Esau, his brother, and the last time he saw Esau, Esau wanted to kill him. So he's kind of preparing himself the night before for this confrontation that is going to happen. And in Genesis chapter 32 and in verse number 24, it says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. He said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.' And he said, 'I will not let thee go, except thou bless me.' And he said unto him, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' He said, 'Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God, and with men hast prevailed.' And Jacob asked him and said, 'Tell me, I pray thee, thy name.' And he said, 'Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?' And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, 'For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved.' And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank." See, the story is this. Jacob, that night, he wrestled against God. Now, later on, he's, God changed his name. And then he made that silly question, right? He said, well, what's your name? The Lord said, why are you asking me that? Why did the Lord say that? Because Jacob knew who he's with. You even see in the next verse when he said, he called it what he did, I have seen God face to face. My point is this. He tried to wrestle God physically. And he lost. You will not overthrow him. But God, remember, he reached down and he touched his thigh and his sinew shrank and his hip was out. And for the rest of his life, he walked with this limp. Everywhere he went, he had this limp, and children of Israel remembered it from generation to generation. You say, what? Why are you even pointing this out? We get the picture, preacher. You can't beat God. Jacob finally surrendered. Amen? He did. He had struggles down the road, but he surrendered. But look at me, please. I'm thankful today you can surrender to God. But the longer that you wrestle with God, the more scars you're going to carry the rest of your life. The longer you try to wrestle with God, the more it's going to affect the rest of your life. 2 Sundays ago, Tony, I don't think he's in here, is he? He's next door. Tony, off our bus route, he got saved over in junior church. And I was glad for that. He came up to me this morning, got on the bus, he sat down next to me, he said, all right, Pastor Burke, I got to talk to you. I said, all right, Tony. He said, I need to get baptized. I said, yeah, you do, man. So we discussed baptism and talked about it. And Lord willing, next Sunday, Tony's going to follow the Lord in baptism. Going to talk to his parents this week. He understands what it is, and he wants to. I told him. I said, now you make that decision. I told him the responsibilities that are there. But you become a member of the church and what God expects in it. He goes, I want to live for God. Amen. Now you pray for Tony. He's not perfect. His sister would tell you he's not perfect. Right, Lauren? Yeah. So she's like, nope. All right, no. He's not perfect. But I'm thankful he got saved, and I'm thankful he wants to make this decision, all right? If Tony continues to serve God, do you know and understand the life that he has been rescued from? Yeah. Amen? I thank the Lord for salvation. Thank the Lord for forgiveness. But there are also men in this room and ladies in this room that didn't get saved till much later in life. And there are still things God forgave them. But there are still scars and struggles. I told you last Sunday night as I was preaching, I believe it was. You know, I can walk through Kroger's and walk past that aisle with all the alcohol in it and don't even realize it, don't think about it. I have no attraction to that whatsoever, never tasted it, never sipped it, never, you know, the worst I've done is smelled it driving through Cincinnati and it stinks, all right? I have nothing towards that, but yet there are others who were saved out of that I know. You walk all the way around the other side of the store to avoid that aisle, and I'm proud of you for that. Because there are scars. If you're holding on to a sin right now, you can fight against God. You can leave fighting against God. But look at me. You'll either find out at the end of your life what a hard life you've chosen and you lost. Or maybe years down the road you can get right with the Lord. Amen. But you walk with that limp. You walk with that scar. I know friends of mine, friends, dear friends, that are serving the Lord now, that they have a hard time thinking sometimes because of the drugs that they were on. They fought against God for years. There's a young lady that I went to college with. She decided to run from God, and she ran and she ran and she fought God. Was in a terrible car accident, lost both of her legs. Now she's in church today. She's serving God. And if she was here, she would say, "Yes, preacher, tell them you can't fight God." And the longer you try to fight him, the more danger you're going to have of living even the rest of your life with scars and regrets and limps that did not have to be there. If you'll just say yes to God, there is a chance that you're fighting against God today. My friend, you won't win. You won't win. Would you just surrender to Him? Whatever that area it is, just surrender to Him. Would you bow your heads with me?